thought on biblical Bible leadership, being the leader that God desires us to be. And as we're giving this acrostic on leadership, we've come to the S in this word, and I'll just tap these other things on the head to bring you up to date with where we're at as we try to become the Bible leader that God wants us to be. Most people in their life will become a leader because parents are leaders, you understand? And in the realm of this local church, there are also leaders within this local church as well. And we're applying these principles to local church leadership. But these principles I'm giving you as I spell out this word leadership can apply to a lot of parts of life. And I encourage you to take these things to heart. Let's pray together and we continue with our thought on being the leader God wants us to be. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here. Thank you for the music tonight, how it blessed our heart. And I pray that you'll speak to us now as we continue with this thought on leadership. May we be the leaders that you desire us to be, and help us to see the importance of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I remind you, as one man said, the strength of any organization is a direct result of the strength of its leaders. The success of any organization will not reach beyond the character of its leaders. The same man went on to say, if you want to grow an organization, then grow the leader. I like these statements. He also said being put in charge is not the same as being a leader. And there's a lot of truth to that. Now what we've been doing over the last several weeks, and I'm still not going to get through this tonight, is we've taken the word leadership and we've put an acrostic together on what Bible leadership is all about. First of all, the L, and we've already preached on this, you can go back and get it. Leadership, the biblical way that pleases God, is about loving the Lord supremely. That in a leader's life, a Bible leader's life, God has no rival. There's no competition. God's not one of many. He's the one and only in a Bible leader's life. The E, it's about exemplifying the Christian life. A Bible leader will set the example in his actions and also in his attributes. The A, leadership is about accepting your role. In marriage and also in ministry, a leader will find what God's given him to do, and he will accept that, and he will do it. The D, leadership is about defining faithfulness. The one word that should define a Christian is the word faithful. The one word that defines a leader is the word faithful. And just like we've preached on this, maybe you can't do many things, but one thing you can do is you can be faithful. This is one thing that God has made it to where we all can do. Leadership is about defining faithfulness. The second E, leadership is about establishing Bible-based convictions. A leader lives by the Bible. The R, leadership is about respecting authority. And he understands the difference between the man, that is the pastor, and the office of the pastor. Then we pick up our study with the S here. If you're keeping notes with me, by the way, when I get done with all this, I'm not going to give it to you before I get done, you understand? But when I get done with all of this, I'll give you all of this if you'd like to have it, so that way you don't wear your wrist out trying to take notes, okay? The S, leadership, is about serving Christ and others. Leadership is about serving. It's about serving Christ, serving others. Now, you're in John chapter 13. I'm not quite there, but I'm getting close. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24, the Word of God says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The Word of God says in the book of Colossians, chapter number 3 and verse number 24, the Word of God says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 13, the Word of God says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now you're in John. Look at John chapter 13, beginning with verse number 13. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, after he washed the disciples' feet. He says, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, Ye also ought to wash one another's feet. He's not talking about a literal foot washing there. I've already preached on that. You can go back and get that when I preached through John. But he's given a principle here. Verse number 14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. He's saying this: I am your Master and I am your Lord. That's what you call me. But if I stoop down as your Lord and Master and wash your feet, then you ought to follow my example. What is he saying? He's saying you should not be in life to be served, but you should be in life to serve others. The Bible says in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 27, it says this: For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But Jesus said, But I am among you as he that serveth. Now that is a powerful statement from our Lord. He says, who's greater? The one that sits at meat, the one that sits down, or the one that serves him? He said, is it not the one that's sitting down to eat? He's the greater in this world in the eyes of man. But he said, I'm not among the ones that sit down to eat and be served. I'm among those that serve. If you want to be like Jesus and you want to be a Bible leader, you will never be in life for what you can get out of it. And you will never be in life expecting people to serve you. But you'll do what you can to serve others. This is a Bible leader. Leadership is a form of service. J. Oswald Sanders said, We do not read about Moses, my leader, but we do read about Moses, my servant. We read about another one of those this morning. In the book of Titus, how Paul identified himself, not as Paul, a mighty leader, no, but Paul, a servant of God. You know, this is exactly what Christ taught, that we are not to be in it to even see ourselves as leaders. A leader never looks at himself and says, I'm a leader. You need to follow me. That's not a Bible leader. That's somebody who's proud and arrogant and thinks too highly of himself. A Bible leader is one who serves. He serves Christ and he serves others. Leaders are not out to serve themselves but serve the Lord and therefore serve other people. You've heard the little acrostic. It's not original with me. The acrostic: joy, Jesus, others, and you. That's what a Bible leader does. Leaders who add value by serving believe in their people before their people believe in them, and they serve others before they are served. The bottom line in leadership isn't how far we advance ourselves, but how far we advance others. Now that's a great statement. And I'm saying it because it's not mine, okay? I've got that from somebody. Leadership is not about how far I can advance me. Leadership is about how far I can advance you. That's leadership. One man said, when you become a leader, you lose the right to think about yourself. Now think about that statement. J. Oswald Sanders said, true greatness, true leadership is found in giving yourself in service to others, not in coaxing or inducing others to serve you. Greatness comes through servanthood and leadership through becoming a slave of all. A true leader is concerned primarily with the welfare of others, not with his own comfort or prestige. Paul Chappell put it this way: the higher you move in leadership, the less rights you claim. The point is, true leaders sacrifice themselves for others' success. They don't mind to take a blow just so this person can get advanced a little bit further. See, one man put it this way: in leadership sacrifice, when we're talking about serving Christ, serving others, putting others above yourself, serving the Lord and therefore putting others above yourself, serving Christ, serving others, any way you want to look at it here, this man said, in leadership sacrifice is an ongoing process, not a one-time payment. It's consistently going on. Leaders must die to self. See, if you're going to serve Christ and serve others, it means you're going to die to yourself. Nobody likes to hear that. Nobody likes to, and let me be honest, nobody likes to do that either. By the way, death can be a very painful thing. You know what I mean? What did Paul say? He said, I die daily. And in order to serve Christ and serve others, self must be crucified. One man said to Lead, talking about General Lee back during the Civil War, he said, Lee well understood one first had to be the master of oneself. General Lee said, and I quote, I cannot consent to place in the control of others one who cannot control himself. That is powerful. George Mueller said, when asked the secret of his success, the mighty prayer warrior who prayed and saw mighty answers to prayer, here's what he said. Listen to this. He said, there was a day when I died. I died to George Mueller, his opinions, his preferences, his taste, and his will. Died to the world, its approval, and its censure. Died to the approval or blame even of my brethren or friends. And since then, I have studied only to show myself approved unto God. 1 Corinthians 15:31, I've already quoted it, but this is Paul saying, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. You know what a Bible leader is? One who sacrifices himself. One who spends his life dying to self and serving Jesus and serving others. You know, in a world that we live in a very selfish world. What I mean by that is people are looking out for me, myself, and I. Even in leadership positions. They'll only take it if they can get something out of it. They'll only do it if they get something in return. They will not lower themselves. They are constantly thinking about how they can advance, how they can get more, how they can be served. That is not a Bible leader. A Bible leader is never out to get something for himself. He is constantly trying to serve Christ and see who he can serve among his fellow human beings. You show me somebody who's too good to serve, and I show you somebody who is not a leader that God is pleased with. By the way, who's the ultimate example of this? The Lord Jesus. Do you know what he was doing when he died on the cross? He was serving you and serving me. Am I not telling you the truth? Is that not what he was doing? And because he lowered himself and took on him the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let me tell you why he died. Because he wasn't too big to serve. Now go back with me in that gospel record of John. I'm not talking about literally turning there, but just kind of use it in your own mind's eye. I preached on this when we went through the Gospel of John. But just imagine just a moment. There the Lord of glory is sitting in that room with those disciples. When all of a sudden he gets out of his seat, he takes a basin, has water in it, and he stoops down as the Lord. He created the feet he was getting ready to wash. He put them together piece by piece. He was looking at his creation. And if anybody deserved to sit down, not move a muscle and say, serve me, wash my feet, do that, go there, go over here. If anybody had the right to do that, it was Jesus Christ. But he got out of his seat and he knelt down and he washed their feet. It's, in my opinion, it's one of the most precious portions of Scripture in the entire Word of God. Because the Creator knelt down to wash His creation's feet. And He said, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for that is who I am. I'm paraphrasing. That's who I am. I am your Master. I am your Lord. And if I, your Master and Lord, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. God help a Bible leader who say they're a Bible leader who's too good to do that for Jesus Christ. Or too good to do that to serve that person. May I say this to you? This is a local church that is going after the world. We're going after the world. We're trying to get the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth, across the street, and all the way across the big pond. Sometimes some people, and I hope I'm not talking to anybody in here, because our church, I think, has proven the opposite of this. Some of these precious bus children that come to us, some of these precious bus children live in situations, excuse me, that an animal should not live in. They live in situations where it is dirty, it is filthy, it is ridiculous. And God forbid that I as pastor or us as a church ever think that we're too good to go into homes like that and try to win boys and girls to Jesus Christ. You know what servants, you know what leadership's about? It's about people who just see themselves like Paul did when I preached this morning. All I am is a servant of God. This is the S. Leadership is about serving Christ and serving others. By the way, what a way to spend the life God's given you. In a world where people say, I mean, get ahead, make the most. I mean, do all you can for yourself. Just look out for yourself. A leader doesn't do that. A leader's not in it for him. He's not in it for how far he can advance, how far he can go, what all he can get done, what all he can achieve, what all he can have done for him. That's not a Bible. That's not the way he thinks. He thinks, my master knelt down and washed the disciples' feet, and I ought to follow his example. So the next time you're teaching that Sunday school class, you're driving that bus, you're knocking on that door as a bus captain, whatever the case may be, the next time that you go across the street, the next time that you're doing something for God, understand this, Bible leaders don't complain about dirty jobs. They thank God that they have the opportunity and the health and the strength to be able to do it for Jesus. Amen. Leadership is about serving Christ and others. Let me give you the H. I was wanting to get through this, and it looks like I'm going to do that. The H, and this kind of ties it together with this morning. I like it when the Lord just kind of ties things together. There's really been a theme today, not on purpose. The theme of I'm a servant of God, I'm an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have a message that's been entrusted to me that I'm to give to the world, all these kind of things this morning. And tonight we come back with this thought that leadership's about serving Christ and serving others. And we finish our study tonight with the H, and that is this: leadership is about helping fulfill the Great Commission. Leadership is about helping fulfill the Great Commission. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, you don't have to turn to it for time's sake here, but in Matthew chapter 28, the Lord Jesus came and spake unto them, saying in verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, before I start giving some thoughts here, I want you to think with me just a moment. Going back to the message this morning, and now we're just kind of coming full circle here, coming right back to it, that leadership is about getting the gospel out. It's about helping fulfill the Great Commission, not just winning people to Christ, but making disciples. Not just seeing people saved, but seeing them discipled for the glory of God. That's part of the Great Commission. It's not just winning them. It's about going. It's about baptizing. It's about teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Put yourself, if we can, it's hard to do this, I know, but put yourself, if you can, if I can, in God's place. In God's stead. The God who stepped out into nothing and created everything. The God who put man together piece by piece and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. The God who put the man to sleep and took a rib out of him and formed a woman. The God who knew that the devil would deceive them. The God who knew that those human beings would break his heart. But he created them anyway. Because he knew before he even created man that his son Jesus Christ would have to come and would have to bleed and die for man's sin. The God who did come from the portals of glory, take upon him flesh so he could get tired, he could get hungry, he could get sleepy, and he could ultimately die. Because God as spirit could never die. But if God would take on him the form of a servant, the form of a human being, then he could feel pain. He could bleed. God could bleed. The God who went to Calvary and defeated death, hell, and the grave by arising victorious 3 days later. The God who ascended, but before he ascended, he looked at his disciples and he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Before he ascended, he said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the othermost part of the earth." The God who made all of this possible and makes heaven a reality, the God who cannot lie, it's impossible for him to lie, that God who can change the sinner's heart, that God that can forgive any sin, that God who has created heaven as a reality, that God who's the God of peace has given his message to you and to me. And how it must break his heart when we don't tell others about it. Convicting, isn't it? Convicting. See, leadership is about seeing your purpose. And your purpose is not you, it's him. Your purpose is not you, it's others. But let me ask you a question. What's the greatest way you can serve another human being? Let me tell you how. It's not mowing their yard. It's not raking their leaves. Even though that's good and proper and we ought to do things like that, the greatest way you can serve another human being is give them the message of salvation. Churches typically spend 5 times more on building and maintenance than they do outreach. Did you hear what I said? They typically spend 5 times more on building and maintenance than they do getting the gospel around the world. You say, what is it here? I'm not sure, but I am going to check. And if it's out of whack like that, that's going to change. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean we don't progress. We've got plans. Amen. I hope you're excited about that. Doesn't mean you don't build it. Doesn't mean you don't maintain the buildings. You should. But if all the money is being pumped into this building and never pumped out to reach the world, something's wrong somewhere, friends. Wouldn't you think that the last command that Christ gave before he went out of this world, I'm talking about after he resurrected from the dead, wouldn't you think his last command should be our first concern, as one preacher said? That Christ's last command should be our first concern? Leaders see the importance of personal involvement in reaching the world for Christ. My burden as your pastor is to reach every zip code in our area. It's to reach the world. But I'm talking about for this, let me just talk about our Jerusalem for a minute, okay? In our Jerusalem, it's my burden to reach every zip code in our area. Every person that lives in the Tri-Cities area within a certain square mile radius, and I've not chosen that yet, should have a clear gospel presentation given to them from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Whether that be through a letter, through the mail, whether that be through knocking on doors, a combination of both, they ought to get a clear presentation of the gospel from this local church. May I say this to you? This is not the only local church. It's not the only local church that pleases God. I'm not going to be a pastor that says this is the only. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. There are several churches in the area who are trying to do something for God, trying to serve God, all these other kind of things. I want you to know right now, there's a Southern Baptist church in our area who supports our bus ministry. They send a check to us supporting our bus ministry. They were thinking about starting their own bus ministry, but the pastor is a good friend of mine, dear friend of mine. I'll just say it's Strong Tower Baptist Church. Pastor Ansel Presnell, Southern Baptist Church, he's as independent as you and I are. Honestly, he's a dear friend of mine. We went to school together. He was thinking about starting a bus route. And he said, Jody, he said, you all have got this going. We're not going to start ours. We're just going to dip into yours and support yours. Thank God for a pastor like that. Thank God for a church like that. We're not in competition. We're not to compete. We're not to compare. We're trying to win a world to Christ. Thank God for men like that. We're not the only church in our area, but we ought to act like we are. Do you understand what I just said to you? We're not the only church, but we ought to act like we are. We ought to take it personally responsible, personal responsibility on ourselves. Tom Sexton, he's crazy as a wild turkey gobbler. He used to come for these sword conferences that we'd have, and he told me, he said, there's a secret to the ministry. I want you to try to find it. I hate it when people do that to me, you know what I mean? I'd call him, I'd say, is it this? Oh, no, it's not it, not it, not it, not it. He said this, he said, when my brother, who was with Dr. Lee Robertson, he said, when my brother found this out, that's when he left, and he started pastoring and all that. I mean, he's just whetting my appetite. What is it? The last time he came to preach for a sword conference, I believe it was, I thought he preached on it. And afterwards, I think I was the one that had to take him to the airport. I said, you preached on it, didn't you? He said, yeah, I preached on it. He said, here's what it is. It is looking to God and saying, God, if they do not hear the gospel, blame me. Wow. If any person in the Tri-Cities does not hear a clear presentation of the gospel, blame us. You kind of see how that can change your life, don't you? Have we really made that commitment? Have I made that commitment? I'll guarantee you this, when we do, we'll start thinking outside the box. God, how can we get the gospel to as many people as quickly as possible? Amen, yes. In order to reach our area with the gospel, listen to this. We want the gospel to get into every home, every hand, and every heart. Time is running out. It's not marching on. Have you heard this? Time is marching on. That's not true. Time is running out. Vance Havner said, the tragedy today is that the situation is desperate, but the saints are not. D.L. Moody said, I'm a dying man preaching to dying men. Leaders know we do not have time to waste, so therefore they act upon it by sharing their faith consistently, getting involved in the soul-winning outreach of this local church. This is one reason that leaders now, I'm talking about really Christians, but especially leaders are expected to participate in the soul-winning outreaches of this local church. At the very least, leaders ought to be here. Every time we have a soul-winning outreach, the leaders ought to say, I'm going, I'll be there. Amen. At the bare minimum, hey, really, Christians ought to do that. But especially leaders. We should all be busy trying to reach our world for Christ. It's God's will for every person to trust the Lord as their Savior. This is a non-Calvinistic church. Somebody say amen, please. You say, I don't know what that means. Don't worry about it. This is a non-Calvinistic church. We do not believe that God has chosen so many, but he's not chosen them, and so they will not be saved, but they will be saved because God chose them. We are not that kind of a church. We believe that Jesus Christ died for the world, and that his sacrifice made an atonement for our sin, and that anybody who comes by the way of the cross can be saved by the grace of Almighty God. 2 Peter 3:9 says he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Dr. Clarence Sexton says you reap a harvest where you place an emphasis. If you place an emphasis on it, that's where you'll get your harvest. And we want to place our emphasis where God places it, and that is in getting the gospel message out. He also said it's not getting the town into the church, but it's getting the church into the town. And leaders know this and are actively involved in getting the gospel in our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. I'm about done. Just stay with me here just for a few more minutes here. Well, the Word of God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When you look up what that word go means, you know what it means? It means as you are going, go. As you're going, go. That means this, when you're going to the grocery store, as you're going, you're looking for who you can give the gospel to while you're there. As you're shopping, as you're going, you're going. As you're going physically, you're going spiritually. It's called soul consciousness. It's called keep your eyes open. You know what God is a master at? Everything. Amen. But you know what he's a master at in soul winning? Making divine appointments. God divinely will put his children in places where somebody who's searching for him is. And if you'll walk with God, stay close to God, walk in fellowship with him, the Holy Spirit will nudge you. Some of you know what I'm talking about. He'll nudge you and say, there they are. Give them a track. Tell them about me. At that time, the battle begins, doesn't it? What are they going to say? Let me tell you why. Because the devil fights against this, friends. God desires us to be gospel seed planters. Tom Farrell puts it this way, seize the moment to share the message. Seize the moment to share the message. All leaders are encouraged. Let me give you a couple of things to consider. Let me encourage you to consider to make a prospect list for those that you're praying for their salvation and those that you're pursuing to give the gospel to. With all this being said, I want to encourage all leaders as well to make a goal. I'm still working on the staff with this number, and I may even increase this number to the leaders later, but this is just a suggestion. Let me encourage every leader to make a goal to make at least every week, a minimum of 10 contacts. Notice I didn't say visits. I said 10 contacts. And a contact is when you are giving the gospel to somebody. Either you're out and about and you give them a gospel tract, that's a contact. Or you make a phone call and you're trying to win them to Christ, that's a contact. Or you knock on doors, that's a contact. Let me encourage you as a leader to put a personal goal on yourself. A minimum every week, I'm going to contact 10 people with the purpose of giving them the gospel. Could you imagine if half the people here made 10 contacts a week with the purpose of trying to win people to Christ? How many contacts would that be? If 10 people do that, that's 100 contacts a week. What about 20? What about 50? All I'm saying to you is this. You know your pastor by now. This is our purpose. This is why we exist. Yes, we exist for fellowship. Yes, we exist to teach the Word of God. Yes, we exist to help you and your family to build strong families. All that's all encompassing. But I'm talking about our collective purpose as a church is to take the gospel around the world. Are you doing your part? And here's something else I've known, something else I notice. Everybody has a circle of influence. Everybody. There are people that I know that you don't, that God has put in my circle of influence to win to Christ. There are people you know that I don't. I call it our own Jerusalem. See, the church has a Jerusalem. So do I. It's my neighbors. If I was working a secular job, it's my coworkers. It's my family members. It's those that when they come and deliver something to the church, like UPS or FedEx, or those people that call in to get food, that's my Jerusalem. God's brought them in my circle, and I'm to give them the gospel. Is that not the purpose for this Fiji mission trip? Is the purpose of this Fiji mission trip just so people go and get some sunshine and come back and say it was a beautiful country over there? So pretty! If somebody comes back and says that trip was a great trip because the food was outstanding, they have missed the purpose of the trip. The trip's about these 2,700 public school students who's going to be given a clear presentation of the gospel. The purpose of this trip is about the building that's going to be taking place so they can bring people inside that building and preach the gospel to them and see people saved. That's the purpose of this trip. That's why we have them. And that's why we're going forward. If the church misses this, it will die. Did you hear what I just said? If we miss this, it will die. I don't want it to die, do you? I want it to keep going on. And if it does, leaders are going to have to serve Christ and serve others. And they're going to have to realize, I need the help in fulfilling the Great Commission. That's leadership. We'll start next with the letter I. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight for this service. Would you speak to our hearts and challenge us, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. How is the Lord speaking to you? You say, Jody, I just can't witness. That's a lie. That's a lie of the devil. Jody, I'm scared to death. I don't think God expects me to do this. You're fooling yourself. That is an inaccurate statement. Is God speaking to you tonight? I'm not asking how many people have you won to Christ. That's between that soul who hears the gospel and the Holy Spirit of God. God doesn't expect you to save anybody. You can't save anybody. That's God's job. But it is our job to get the message to them, to sow the seed. So let me ask you a question as they begin to play through softly. How are you doing sowing the seed? Have you right now have a neighbor? I do. I'm thinking about them right now. Have you all have a neighbor, somebody that lives in your neighborhood or close, or you consider them a neighbor that you believe that they are lost? Would you raise your hand? Raise your hand. Yes, that's a lot of us, a multitude of us. Thank you. When's the last time you tried to give them the gospel? I'm cut there. I'm convicted there. How much time do you pray for them this week? Have you have a coworker that's lost? Would you raise your hand? A coworker, yes. You ever thought that maybe God gave you that ability? That he gave you and gifted you in that ability because he wants you to reach those people. See, a soul winner sees things differently. They don't see how they can make a living. They see how they can make a difference. Why don't you as a Christian say, and you're saying, Jody, God's speaking to me. And if leadership's about helping fulfill the Great Commission and serving others, God is speaking to my heart. I want to be a leader like that. God is speaking to me. I want you right now, would you please? Would you get out of your seat and come and pray and talk to God? Come right now, would you do it? Stand to your feet, come to this altar. Ask God to help you. Surely God has spoken to more than two people. Surely God has spoken to more than three people. Is God speaking to you? Is God speaking to you? I mean, is he telling you? Is he saying, hey, I'm talking to you tonight. I want you to help. I want you to get involved. I want you to serve. I want you to help in fulfilling the Great Commission. Would you do it? Would you do it? May the Lord help you. Father, take it and use it, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary, if you wouldn't mind, just to begin to sing. If God is speaking to you, you come now.
So little time, the harvest will be over. Our reaping done, we reapers taken home. Report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest. And hope he'll smile and that he'll say, well done. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in.
You can look this way. We're almost through, just about done. This is the heartbeat of your pastor, friends. But above your pastor, so much further above your pastor, this is the heartbeat of your Savior. It's the heartbeat of God. This is what we need. I think it's appropriate tonight for those that are going to Fiji. If you're going on that trip, I'd like you to come. I want you to come on up here. I want to have special prayer with you and for you. Come on now. We're going to miss you while you're gone. Well, most of you. I'm just kidding with you there. And I appreciate your willingness to go. I thought this would be good. If you can kneel, if you can't kneel, that's fine. If you can kneel right there, I'd like for you to kneel. We'll pray with you here as our closing prayer. Right before we do that, and you're gathering here, let me give you the names of this precious family here. This is the Garber family, if you wouldn't mind to stand, all of you there. And they have been such an encouragement to my heart to see them coming week after week after week after week. And we have talked to them about church membership, and they believe the Lord would have them to come and unite with the fellowship of this church. They have all been saved. They've been scripturally baptized. And they are coming to our church by statement. They have read the bylaws, they understand them, agree to submit to them, and we are thrilled about this. They want to become members of our church and get involved in helping us reach other people with the gospel, and I appreciate that. What's the pleasure of the church that we receive them by statement, please? Brother Eugene Radford, Brother Shannon Barker, all in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. I like it. You're now members of Buffalo Ridge. Welcome to the membership. God bless you. I'll have you stay right there. You can be seated, but I'll have you stay right there. I'm sure our folks will want to come by and greet you. Let's pray and let's ask God to touch this mission trip and give them safety and protection and fruit that remains. Let's do this, okay? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this service tonight. And I pray, dear Lord, that you will solidify these things in our hearts and minds. Help us to be Bible leaders who serve you and serve others and who help fulfill the Great Commission. Give the gospel everywhere we go. May this church be an active, soul-winning church. And I pray for this group here tonight, Lord, as their pastor, I pray that you'll wrap your loving arms around them, that you will keep them safe and protected, that you will give their bodies good health there and back, that you'll help everything to go according to your will and plan. For those that build, for those that preach the gospel, for those that go into the public school systems, for those that speak on Sunday, to everything they do, to those that give the gospel, I pray that you'll touch every part, anoint every part, bless every part. And may fruit that remains be evident. May they see people in heaven as a result of this trip. May people come running in heaven to these dear folks, thanking them for telling them about Jesus Christ. Anoint them. Bless Brother Gary as he leads. Give him wisdom. Be with Paul Deku and help this group to be a real blessing to him and his ministry. And may the will of God be done, I pray. We love you tonight. We thank you for loving us. Fill us with your power fresh and new and your spirit. And may we be well pleasing in your sight, I pray. In Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Cancer Ministry meeting right now. So